Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 tonight. Please turn with me to Galatians 5. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture tonight. So, and typically in our services, we look at primarily one passage of Scripture and then we teach through it. But in this series, we'll be looking at lots of different Scriptures as we cover these topics of the fruit of the Spirit. Although I understand last week you worked through 1 Corinthians chapter, anybody remember? The love chapter? 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as you talked about the fruit of love. Well, tonight we're going to discuss the fruit of joy. So we're going to look at the opening passage of Scripture. And on your handout it says verses 13 through 18 of Galatians 5, but then you clearly see it's verses 22 through 25. So let's read that. So some of the Scriptures tonight are going to be on your handout, and others are we're going to turn to. So just be ready with both. So let's look at Galatians 5, and let's read verses 22 through verse 25. And I'm going to ask if you would read those, let's read those out loud together. Galatians 5, 22 through 25, and begin. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So just remember, the theme of this study is that the fruit of the Spirit is just that. It's fruit. It's produced by the Holy Spirit. So we do not practice these things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and down the list. We don't practice these things to make ourselves spiritual people. But rather, a spiritual person has these traits manifested in their life. And verse 24 is key. As we crucify, as we put to death the flesh, we allow the Holy Spirit. In fact, you can look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And yes or no, do we live in the Spirit as Christians? All the time? Well, yes. But do we all, no, we always live in the Spirit, but do we always walk in the Spirit? There's a difference. You see that in that verse. He says, if we live in the Spirit, and the answer to that is, yes, we do. Because we saw that several weeks ago when I taught out of Romans as well. We live in the Spirit. Our new life in Christ puts us in the spiritual realm. The problem is, our walk doesn't always match the reality that we belong to the Spirit of God. So, as we unpack this, we see all of these evidences, these fruits that are produced by living a life yielded to the Holy Spirit, walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So that first, the fruit that we'll look at tonight is this fruit of joy. How would you define joy? We've done this before, but let's just go through. How would you define joy? Do you think there's a difference between joy and happiness? I think I've heard people say there is. In some ways, I think there is. I think it depends on how you define the words, correct? It depends on what you're talking about. There's the happiness of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, however you want to describe it. But there is a difference between temporary joy and temporary happiness and the kind of joy that the Lord is talking about here, right? This is something that is of a spiritual nature. So let's have a word of prayer. I don't think we've prayed yet, and then we'll talk about this. Lord, we thank you for the goodness that you've shown us. We thank you for the relationship that we have with you and the walk that you've called us to. Help us tonight to understand the Scriptures and make application to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. How many of you, be honest now, how many of you hopped out of your car tonight with a spring in your step and a whistle on your lips? Just happy, happy, happy. Who did? Anybody? Anybody? Who would say, I did not? I mean, really, I didn't. Okay, so does that mean that you are a person that has no joy? Would you say that? No, of course not. Is there an in-between? Yeah, so, somewhere in there. Well, Travis, you just drove, you got in at 2 in the morning, so and drove to Ohio, drove back, worked all day, came to church tonight. So I don't imagine there's a lot of, you know, although you're a pretty high energy guy, so. But But we understand that when we're talking about joy, we're not talking about a superficial thing. You could have had a rough day today. You could have difficulty happening. You might have stepped out of your car tonight and be like, well, I'm supposed to be here. I need to be here. Man, maybe I don't even feel like being here. And those kinds of attitudes we can have, it doesn't necessarily mean that we don't have the joy of the Lord. Now, it could mean that we're not allowing the joy of the Lord to lead us in that moment. But I do want to talk about the fact that we're not talking about a Hallmark greeting card. We're not talking about something just superficial and on the surface. But there is that kind of a joy. The kind of a joy that puts a spring in your step and a whistle on your lips. There are things in the world that give us that kind of joy. Wouldn't you agree with that? Tell me, what gives you that kind of joy? Anybody, what gives you that kind of joy? Sure does. There's nothing wrong with that. It gives us joy. What else gives us joy? Things that give us joy. That will bring joy to your heart and sorrow to the heart of others, okay? What else? I mean, things that give people joy. Children. Just watching. I think everyone that receives joy by watching children play. And then everyone, there's other things that children affect us, other ways they affect us too sometimes. What else puts joy? Yep. Yeah, well, that's a special kind of joy. So, things in life, moments, things we enjoy, birth of a child, a promotion, more money in my bank account, okay? Let's just be real carnal about it. That gives me a sense of joy. Buying something that I want to purchase, there's joy that comes from that. Yeah, you had a lot of joy there at that moment. So, there's lots of reasons for joy. Now, when we speak about a spiritual joy, though, we're talking about where that begins, and obviously that begins at salvation. So some of this is going to be pretty basic as we start. But consider this as you open the handout tonight and look at it. Joy begins at salvation. It's amazing how, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, when we were in Luke on a Sunday morning, Jesus said to his disciples, don't be all excited. Don't get all happy because you have power over demons and you can do miracles. But does anybody remember, Jesus said, don't rejoice in that, but instead, you need to rejoice in what? Exactly, that your name is written in heaven. That God knows, if there's anything that gives us joy. And so I think the point, the biggest application for us, is that it's not that people in the world cannot experience joy, it's that they cannot experience the same quality of joy that you and I experience in knowing Christ. And that's a joy that can be present despite circumstances, and that's a joy, though, that you and I have to choose to allow to control us moment by moment. Now, consider these other passages that speak about the joy that comes from salvation. Romans 15:13, it says this, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? You see that? In believing. Our belief on Christ is the source of joy. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet, there's the word again, yet what? Believing. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We never get the greatest joy of the Christian life. And there are things that we'll talk about tonight that develop our spiritual joy and part of being a Spirit-filled Christian. But it never gets past that anchor point at the beginning, which is the fact that we believe on the name of Jesus Christ. In that His grace was free, His forgiveness was free. It was shed abundantly on all of us simply by believing. Nothing that I have done, nothing that could earn it, but God has displayed His favor to me simply when I believed on Christ. So it begins when we believe on the name of the Lord, and it's produced, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And look what he says in Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. How would you interpret that verse? How would you explain that verse, 14, verse Romans 14, 17? Maybe you can help me tonight. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's a verse that probably none of us had memorized when we came in tonight. But it speaks about the reality of what our life is all about. What would you comment on that verse? Yes. Okay. Not our necessities to keep us alive. Yeah, exactly. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Any other observations about that? Sure. Notice the emphasis on the not just the eternal, but the internal in this passage. Right? The internal aspect here. That your experience in the kingdom of God is not just about what you do for God, how you live for God, although righteousness will be involved in that, but it begins with what God wants to do internally in our hearts. The focus is always on the internal. That's why, think about the fruit of the Spirit. They're about being realities, being full of love and joy and peace and long-suffering. It's, what is God, before God can do anything through us, He has to do something in us. And we have to allow that to happen. So therefore, with that in mind, what are some things, and I hope you can help me, what are some things that then rob or steal a believer's joy? What steals our joy? God says, I've embraced you and invited you into this kingdom. You experience my kingdom. My hope for you is righteousness and joy and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But often we're not living in that state of joy. What are things that come and rob us? Who can help me? Things that rob a believer's joy. Okay, that will rob joy. And that's going to actually come up later, so that's a good observation. What are things in our lives that can rob us of joy? Yes. Sin. All these things are going to be sin, but I'm with you. You threw it up. I like it, okay? I mean, maybe you did, maybe you weren't full of joy today, okay? Maybe you were not, maybe you've got it. What's robbing your joy from you? Because you know you don't walk in, come on now, you don't walk like this every day. This is God's will for us, but we let the devil rob us of God's blessing. Okay, so conflict with people, I'm assuming. So husbands and wives get into conflict with each other. Parents and children get into conflict with each other. You can't, James, who said, if you can't love your brother who you do see, how will you love God who you cannot see? So James says, conflict with other people will rob us of joy. The most contentious people are the most joyless people. What else robs us of joy? Over here, first? Yeah. Right. So you could say fear or worry, things beyond your control, perhaps. I agree. And you could take fear. Fear is probably one of the biggest joy robbers, because with fear, we say everything from, will my kids turn out? Will they follow the Lord? Will I have enough money? Well, those thoughts really control us. And you're not going to walk in joy with that. How about... For me, I'll tell you just honestly, what robs my joy a lot of the time is just being overextended, schedule-wise. You laughing? Yeah, right? It's like you pile, if some of us are prone to, we pile as much as we can into every day to do, and some of that's a pride issue we want to accomplish. And before you know it, we stress ourselves out. And then you get out of the car at the end of the day and you've just wore yourself ragged. I mean, these are things that there's a statement that someone taught me, not personally, but I learned from someone that I don't follow well enough. But the statement was, build your life with margin. Do you know what that means? Build your life with margin. You got margin on the side of a page. You've got extra space in your life. Don't overextend yourself. Build a little margin in your family time. Build a little margin in your schedule. Build a little margin in your finances. Because sometimes we fill our lives with things we don't have time for spiritual things where the true joy will come from. We do get concerned with meat and drink rather than being concerned with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The joy robbers. What else is a joy robber? What's a joy robber? Yes. Yeah, my dad said anger a minute ago. Bitterness. Bitterness will rob your joy. Sickness is a joy robber. Yeah. Yeah, envy. Right. There's no way you're going to be happy if you can't learn contentment. And then, so if you say jealousy or envy or the cousin of all that, which is comparison. So if I'm comparing my life to someone else's, all of these things are going to be, these are robbing me of joy. Remember, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What else is a joy robber? I saw more hands. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. Something else. How about this one? Unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. I think that's a big one for folks a lot, whether it's in a relationship. People get married having an expectation of how things are going to be. It could be people go down an education path or they go down a career path and they have an expectation for how things are going to turn out for them. Their health expectations, and we get the idea that these things should have been a certain way, and so not being able to submit to the will of the Lord. All these things are going to kill our joy, but God's desire for us, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So how do we, very simply put, how do we combat all of these would-be robbers? I mean, what's the security system that we put in our home to prevent these things from creeping in? It's not really all that, I mean, go ahead, somebody's going to say something. Hope. Yeah. Trust. Yeah. To make some, so if I could then, to make some true comparisons, to say, to an attitude of gratitude would prevent us from, our joy from being robbed. What else? I mean, simply, yeah. Yeah. A lot of it's just it's a mindset change, right? It's as we saw in Romans and in Galatians chapter 5, where it says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Notice he says affections and lusts. One is a positive word, one is a negative word. So we're changing our mindset, we're developing a spiritual mindset, we're yielding our lives to the will of God. And so I think we could all give, did anybody else have anything to add to that before we move on? Yes, ma'am. Claiming the promises of God, getting in the scriptures. It's true. And unconfessed sin, right? when we know there is an area of our life, what did David finally have to say? When David finally repented, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." So God's desire for us is to experience this because joy is not rooted in an experience of life. Joy is rooted, joy is anchored in the relationship that we have with Christ. It's a fruit of salvation, and then it's a fruit of walking in the Spirit. There's nobody, I've never met anybody who got saved, and after they got saved, their immediate reaction was being miserable. Salvation is a joyous thing. In fact, the moment a person is saved, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. But what happens is, somebody becomes a Christian, experiences the joy of the Lord, and then goes into a reverse discipleship process where we learn how to be miserable. But the ongoing walk of the Christian is to walk in the Spirit and experience His joy. And so we have to ask ourselves, do the people around me, if they were to say, is this person's life, does it exhibit the joy of the Lord? That would be a good test for each of us to ask ourselves. So that's where the source is supposed to be. Let's look secondly then at this idea of resilience, that the difference between a worldly joy, which is enjoyable, there's nothing wrong with earthly joys and happiness, but a key difference is going to be the source, and then a key difference is going to be its resilience. So what happens, all of the things we've talked about at the beginning, things that give us joy right here and right now, okay, the biggest problem with them is they don't last, right? Nancy, you were all excited about that new car that you got that gave you a little bit of joy. Nothing wrong with that. But unfortunately, give it a year, and you won't get as excited to to fire up the ignition anymore. Because these things don't last. I like to think of them, all of these things, someone described it this way once, all these things are just, they're tokens. God gives us these tokens. It's just like when you were a kid and you went to the arcade and you won your tokens. That token didn't have any value. That token wasn't anything in and of itself. But you could take that token represented something that you wanted. In a way, the things that we experience on earth that give us joy, they're tokens that represent the goodness and the grace of God. So we should never feel bad. The whole monastic lifestyle of monasteries and monks, be it in the Christian concept or the Buddhist concept, that's not a biblical concept. There's nothing wrong with worldly pleasure. The problem is when we elevate worldly pleasure. Worldly pleasure is a foretaste. It's just a token of the true joy, the true happiness that can only come from God. And one of the things that makes Christian joy unique is its resilience. Bill mentioned this a little bit. So look at that point and look at the scripture that's under it, and then I'll have you turn to a couple. Look at Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry." Now, obviously, this was a particular context and a particular event taking place, but the statement that he ends with should give us encouragement no matter where we are at in our lives. And that statement is this: "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Is your strength. A Christian joy should be resilient. And there's joy in suffering. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Let's look at these three passages we will turn to. Go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, and this is the trouble with all of the health and wealth prosperity preaching that's popular on the internet and on television and on the radio, is that they speak of Christian joy in earthly terms. But in the scriptures, here we'll see, he speaks of joy in the midst of suffering. The whole book of 1 Peter is dealing with Christians who are in the midst of a fiery trial. He says here in verse number 6 of 1 Peter 1, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in," what's the word there? Okay, so their earthly experience is an experience of heaviness. It's not a happy moment in their life. But in the middle of this, you're greatly rejoicing. Well, why? Well, if you look back at verse number Well, let's look at verse number 4. He speaks about an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. What is it that they're rejoicing in? The salvation, the experience that they're going to have eternally. Though now you're in heaviness for a season, through manifold temptations. And the idea of temptation there is really the idea of the difficulties that they're going through. This church was being persecuted. They were being attacked. They were being ridiculed. They're going through serious suffering. And he says in verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Unspeakable joy. In other words, not just that it couldn't be explained, but the experience that they had, the satisfaction that they had, the abiding happiness that was in them despite the circumstance, couldn't be expressed in words, but it was directed to God for His glory. There's a joy in suffering. But the problem is this. For the Christian, if in the happy times of life, we don't cultivate a walk with the Lord that produces spiritual fruit, what happens is this. People, let me try to say it more simply. People will live their life opposite of Romans 14, where it says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But so they'll do the opposite of what it says. And Christians will live for meat and drink. Christians will live for worldly things. And live. And life will go good because we live in America. I mean, for the most part, it'll just go good for us if we work hard. And there's a lot of things to be happy about in this day and age. And then, all of a sudden, something will happen. Something will happen that will bring suffering into a person's life. And then, sometimes, a Christian will not experience the joy of the Lord. And why? Why? Because they've never experienced it. They've had joy and happiness, but they've never experienced the joy of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that it's hopeless for that person. They'll have to discover the joy of the Lord at that moment. But many Christians, instead of experiencing the joy of the Lord in suffering, have actually gone into bitterness because they're not practicing the joy of the Lord. I'm not saying, I would never say feel guilty for enjoying the things of life, but I would say this. Where are you experiencing the joy of the Lord in your life? Okay? Joy in suffering. Along the same lines, skip back just a few pages in your Bible to James, the Epistle of James, chapter 1. Look at James chapter 1. These verses aren't in your notes, so let's look at James 1. Look at verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word patience literally means endurance. And it actually, when you think about a trial and you think about patience, the Greek word for patience, the literal meaning is to remain under. To remain under. In other words, there's something heavy, and you're trying to hold it, and the Lord says, just hold on a little longer. Just stay under that burden a little bit longer. He says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And he says, count it all joy when you fall into these trials and temptations. So the difference between a worldly joy is it's resilient. It's present in suffering, it's present in trials, and it's also present in persecution. Matthew 5, we'll look at this really quickly. Matthew 5, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in verse number 10, Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Okay, I can deal with it. I'll deal with it. I'll put up with it. But then he says what? Rejoice. He doesn't just say deal with it or put up with it. He says rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Paul said to Timothy that all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's actually one of the guarantees of the Christian life. Now, there have been Christians that have experienced tremendous persecution, where I would not want to say that anything, I wouldn't even want to use the same word to describe it. Any ridicule or someone mocking me or giving me a hard time. I hate to even use the same word that Christians who've given their lives and been imprisoned and died. But as Bill said before, read the stories, read the historical accounts of Christians who were about to be fed to the lions and began to sing as a chorus to the Lord in the middle of the Colosseum. And what happened in the early days of the church is the more Christians were persecuted, the more people watched and were just astonished at the joy that these people had. So you and I, if someone mocks us or ridicules us, remember what the disciples said in the book of Acts when they were first persecuted. They beat them and they prayed to the Lord and they said, Lord, they didn't say, Lord, why did you let this happen? Their prayer was, thank you, Lord, that we have been counted worthy, not just to preach, but to suffer for your name's sake. That's a joy that we can't explain or understand. And none of us would sign up for that. But that's something that, what happens is, you cannot prepare for that day. Jesus even said not to. But if we live, that's why joy is a fruit of the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, that joy is then produced in our lives. And in those moments, it makes itself known. So then, what can we do today? How can we express our joy? Well, the Bible gives us a few ways. You could tell me these, but our joy is expressed in singing. I love Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. When there's nothing to be happy about, you can be happy that God is on the throne and that God is God, that he is the eternal one, that he is the steadfast one. Make a joyful noise. Several years ago, my dad preached a message, and in that he mentioned, hey, if you're a Christian and you don't want to sing, there's something wrong. And somebody got upset that he said that in the message. And stop coming to church because of that. Because of that. But the Bible says he has put a new song in my heart. That you may not be the most beautiful singer in the world, but he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sing unto him. Serve him. Our joy is to be expressed in our singing. Praise in the Old Testament, you read about it, it's vocal. It's not silent. It's a vocal thing. It's an expression of our joy. But that's not all. That's one of the simplest ways, honestly, to express our joy. But another expression is in serving. In serving. Paul says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. One reason that some Christians don't experience the joy of the Lord is they're not on mission with God. Their life is, what is the old children's song? Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus, and it's a simple little song, but it's true. It's amazing, and I've experienced this in my life and talked with people about it. If you've got problems and difficulties and things that get you down, direct your energy to help someone else and step into somebody's life and serve them and watch the joy of the Lord begin to fill your soul. Why? Because you're doing His work. You're accomplishing His plan. Stop serving and you'll start to miss out on the joy of the Lord. It's also expressed in reaching others. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul speaks to a church that many of those people he had led to the Lord. And he says, what is our hope? What is our joy or crown of rejoicing? He says, you are. You are. In the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming. He said, the fact that I have been able to make a difference in your life by God's grace, and the fact that you will stand before God and I will have some part in that, gives me joy. We're going to have missions emphasis. Missions conference. The fact that when I see, we've been doing our mission spotlights on Sunday nights and we'll see missionary stuff on missions conference. When you see that and you have a part in that, I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. It's a source of joy that I'm invested in something eternal. And that's what Paul's talking about. And then joy is also expressed, buckle your seatbelt now, joy is also expressed in giving. In giving. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, and not giving because you're rich, but even giving when you're poor. He says here, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. But it's these are fruits that only the Holy Spirit can produce in our hearts. If you're not experiencing much joy, we're looking at all these things, how tightly are you grasping your dollars? How firmly are you clutching to them? It's going to rob you of your joy. But don't give grudgingly. Well, I guess it's my duty to give. I mean, we have to support the church after all. We got to turn the lights on. No. God says He loves a cheerful giver. Somebody says, God, this is not about, sure, the lights have to be turned on, the ministry work has to be done, but God, this is about Your glory. You've given to me so much. You've given so much to me, and now joyfully I give this back to You to use as You see fit. 2 Corinthians 8, 1-3, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, seemingly contradictory statements, abundant joy but deep poverty, but that abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were generous. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. So, to conclude tonight, lots of things that we discussed that are evidences of the joy of the Lord. But remember, as with all of the topics that we discuss in this series, the fruit is produced when the stream of the Holy Spirit is active in our lives. So the answer tonight isn't serve more, be better, work harder. The answer tonight is yield. Surrender your life, and when God speaks, obey. And let His power flow through you. But as many times as you say no to whatever God is speaking to you about, each time you say no, you're robbing yourself of the joy that God wants to produce in your life. So sometimes we can be our own worst enemy when God's desire is to meet our needs, but more importantly, give us an eternal and an internal satisfaction and abundant joy that only He can give. Well, thank you for studying this with me tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. After that, we'll break into our prayer groups tonight. I encourage you to pray with somebody this evening. And let's pray together right now. Lord, we love You because You first loved us. I thank You for the Scriptures and how they speak to us. We thank You for the opportunity to experience Your joy, to experience Your love. I pray that You'd speak to each of our hearts. Show us where we are hindering your fullness, where we're hindering and quenching the Spirit, and help us to open our lives more obediently. We pray that you'd bless this time of prayer now in Jesus' name. Amen.